Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh, Mystery Craters. Welcome back to another episode of the Mystery Crate Podcast, part of the Levitard and Friends family. I have brought in not only the trusty shipping containers here, but also Stu Gatz, the host of Stupidity.
Hello.
Is in studio right now. Stu Gatz, as of the recording, still 50-50 as to whether or not he attends Dan Levitard, the Big Kahuna's wedding this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually down to a 40-60 that I'm not attending. But we will see. We will all find out together.
It's still dependent on the start time of a lacrosse match, and that schedule isn't exactly firm. That's my understanding.
No, the schedule was firm. What I did was I took the afternoon games that we were originally scheduled to play, and I moved them. I asked the tournament directors, can we move these to the morning? They asked me why. I said, three games, hop on a bird, Levitard wedding, hop on another bird, come back, and do the Sunday game. I mean, those are the efforts I am making to attend this wedding. Roy, you think I'm crazy for attending the wedding? I shouldn't do that?
Or should I blow off
the lacrosse tournament?
Wait, what's your math on this? 40-60 that you're not attending?
Yeah.
So 40% that you're not attending means 60% that you are attending.
Yeah, no, 60% I'm not attending, 40% I am.
Okay.
Yeah, 50-50, yeah.
Yeah, you're a crazy person. You are absolutely a crazy person.
What, for doing all that?
Yeah.
Just blow off the wedding?
Yeah.
I don't want to blow off his wedding.
Just give him a gift.
Listen,
the gift is
what can you give him, honestly?
There's nothing. Exactly. It's a great question, because I don't know what to get him. And I think the thing he wants most is just for me to show up.
One of the options is donating to a charity of his choice.
Really?
And there's really no way for him to know that.
Ooh,
so why don't you just lie to him?
This is what you should do.
Tell me a big donation.
Get animal rights tattooed on your arms.
Oh, right.
For Dan's wedding.
Okay, done. Okay. And then I'm out?
Yeah, and you have to get vegan for life tattooed on your neck.
Okay.
Also, and then you don't have to go.
Like Moby?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because that's more important than donating money.
All right, done. Now we are down to 10% chance that I show up to this wedding. 10%. Oh. I got to get the tattoos cleared by Abby, but we'll go from there.
All week, we've been trying to guess on the show different celebrities that might show up at Dan's wedding. What do you guys think about Mike Tyson?
Ooh, that's really a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
His final guest on The Art of Conversation.
Two of two.
Because we know episode one will be there.
Right.
Riley.
Yeah, Riley.
Wow, so this could be like a whole Art of Conversation reunion.
A round table. There's actually no reception. It's just a round table of all the subjects and the host.
What do you guys think? Like any... Who are we debating here?
I feel like if we've built this up too much. Like, not that we're going to be disappointed when we get there, but, like, when we get there and it's like...
Right,
like
Kalashaw.
Tony Reality, the biggest star.
Yeah, or like, oh.
Right. Kalashaw. Bob Ryan?
Ooh.
I would love for Bob Ryan to be there.
Me too.
Yeah. This is kind of funny because there better not be crazy celebrities there that, like, he's not really even that much. Because there's people that are connected with our show that weren't invited. That I know that they've sent texts that imply, so wait, this celebrity's invited, but I'm not invited?
And what did you tell your dad?
No, I told Lorenzo, hey, buddy, feel better.
Stu Gatz, you do an entire best man speech on Stupidity,
yes.
The latest episode that is out now. You went 10 minutes. Have you given thought to perhaps tightening just the whole experience up over there at Stupidity?
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, it was a 40-minute episode this week. I used to do like an hour and 20-minute episodes when we first started. You said get it down. I got this one down to 40.
It is a bizarre lament of mine that you're working too much.
Chris, I'll make him as short as you want to make him, Mike. You want me to tighten him up? How about 2 minutes next week?
Chris Cody, What do we have to look forward
podcast?
To?
I don't think you could do a 2-minute podcast.
Well, I still want to do Mina Has the Daily. I want to do the nightly, but no one's helping me with it. So, I mean, what do we do?
I actually had a good idea for the nightly.
Sorry, Mike.
This is what I think you should do for the nightly. Ready?
Yeah.
And I mean, you could just put it out, but this is what you should do for the nightly.
Okay.
You just re-air the daily,
ooh,
but you introduce, here's Mina Kimes or whatever it is that she does for the daily.
Right.
But you introduce it as, this is the nightly, I'm Stu Gatz, and today's guest, we have Mina Kimes, and she's going to discuss blah, 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 and then you just re-air the daily.
Let's do that. Mike, you good with that?
Just repurposing the content and you getting the credit and glory?
She does the daily. Stu Gatz releases the nightly, and all I do is introduce Mina Kimes' daily. How about that? That's a heady play.
What about it, Stu Gatz?
We repackage it as a nightly, though.
I'm familiar with the whole grand scheme
of
things.
You get what we're doing here? You can see between the lines
here. You just take the advertising dollars and the subscribers.
Yep, Dylan Miskiewicz.
What do we have to look forward to on this episode?
Oh, this is a good one. We're going to start off a little You Never Know, which we haven't done in a couple weeks.
It's taking like a month and a half hiatus. In fact, the last time we did it, Dan was hosting.
Yeah, we are going to do a deep dive on Greg Cody. We get into his journalism career a little bit. He tells a good Jimmy Johnson story, actually. I make fun of how old he is and how fraudulent he is, because he thinks he's a guy who, you know, salt life, country soul. He thinks he's everything, and he's none of them. So I call him out pretty hard about being a fraud.
Yeah, he's had a beer on like the shoreline once, and he says that's salt life.
Also, Roy takes a big part in this You Never Know, actually. He was here, and it was me and my dad arguing, and I was like, Roy, you need to get in on this, because he's annoying me.
So You Never Know with the Cody family, plus one, that's coming your way now.
You never know.
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 You never know. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. You never know.
I'm trying to imagine what type of musical artist you would be if that was your career path. Like an Elton John, an Elvis, a country star, an Eminem. What do you imagine you would be as a musical act?
I think I would either be a country singer or sort of a classic rock, just the guy in the band.
So white.
Yes, very white.
Well,
bluegrass.
I was born white. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that. So,
but you're very eclectic with your music taste.
I am.
I'm not like saying that most white people aren't, but you, by looking at you, you would think that those two genres is all you like.
Yeah.
But you're into a lot of types of music.
I enjoy Eminem, but me trying to envision myself rapping doesn't seem as normal or as natural to me as me envisioning myself singing country music. You know, like a old school country, Waylon and Willie, John Anderson, guys like that.
Do you still think that you're a country soul?
Yeah, oh, very much
so. But you're not.
I own cowboy hats.
Yeah, it's more to that. It's a lifestyle. You don't live the lifestyle. You're a poser.
Well, I don't.
You like to pose on a bunch of different genres. You also think you're salt life.
Yeah, I am salt life.
You couldn't be any further from being salt life.
It's not true at all. I've been in a canoe.
You've been fishing only on a charter on vacation.
Wrong.
That's not true.
My older brother used to take me fishing on Alligator Alley. We'd fish for gar.
How old were you at this time?
I was probably 10.
Okay. And
12.
And how old are you now?
I'm in my 60s.
So that doesn't count.
It does count.
No.
I've been fishing since then. Matter of fact, I was in Alaska catching halibut.
That's
the halibut, and it was excellent, by the way.
But that's what I'm talking about. You always lean on that time you went fishing, but that was someone else's idea on a vacation that just dragged you along.
Right.
Roy, is he salt life?
No. But how was that time in that canoe?
It was great. You know, my buddy and I were in a red canoe during alligator mating season. And it was at night when alligators mate.
Maybe.
And so we're in a red canoe in the pitch black, in the Everglades, with croaking alligators all around us. When I look back, it was probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done in my life.
That's fine.
And yet I live to tell about it.
Is that the mating call of an alligator, that whatever you just said, that
the
noise?
Croaking?
Yeah.
That's the extent of my alligator knowledge.
Can you imitate that sound? Nicely done.
It's more of a bellow.
It's a bellowing croak. I would agree with that. It is more of a bellow. Roy, bellow me. But,
So yeah, you're a fraud.
I don't consider myself to be a fraud.
You really don't live any lifestyle.
No.
You're just a guy.
I also live the reggae lifestyle.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
because you like Bob Marley.
I've had jerk chicken in Jamaica.
Oh, Jesus.
In Ocho Rios. I do more than like Bob Marley. I love Bob Marley.
You see, the best part about all this is
I was listening to Toots and the Maytals on the way in today.
I genuinely believe that you believe all these things that you are Salt Life, that you are a country soul, that you are a reggae man.
Thank you.
But you're not.
Well, in my mind, I am. When I say that I'm Salt Life, I don't have to be a professional fisherman to say that I identify with the Salt Life.
But there are people
lifestyle.
That are Salt Life.
One of my favorite places to go on Earth is down to the Keys, Key West.
That's
which
just
is,
a drink.
No, it's to, you know, take in the sunset and,
you
know,
when's the last time
enjoy
you,
the salt air.
When's the last time you went in the ocean?
I enjoy cruising.
You like drinking.
I do like drinking.
Everything you're saying right now is just drinking.
Been to the ocean many times.
Why don't we all charter a boat one day?
Yes.
Or one weekend.
Yes.
Just hang out.
Oh, don't threaten me. I would do it in a heartbeat.
See, someone who is Salt Life, we would all do that, and whoever was Salt Life of us would be the leader. All right, guys, this is how we're going to fish. We're going to, oh, you need help hooking your line? Here, I'll do it for you. You can't do any of that. You would need someone to do all that for you.
It depends. Depends what you're talking about. You know, I have caught shark.
On a charter.
Yeah.
That you did. All right, he doesn't get this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what do you want me to say?
Salt Life, someone who's Salt Life, like, they work on boats. They're always on boats. They fish 4 or 5 times a month. They go out at the crack of dawn.
I'm not a fisherman.
But that is
Salt
Life.
I never claimed to be.
But that's not a fisherman. Like, people that are Salt Life, like, they wear those Guy Harvey shirts. They always have flip-flops on.
Yeah.
Salt Life.
I rather hate the Guy Harvey style of attire, and I'm not a big fan of his artwork either.
Normally, people who are Salt Life knows somebody who can pilot a boat, who works on boats, who paints and, you know, maintains a boat.
Yeah. I know people who own boats. I've been on boats owned by others. How about that?
How about that?
I just pulled a nose hair out of my nose, and it's as I've reached 30, I'm now 32, I'm starting to feel, and even when I look in the mirror sometimes, I see more of myself. I see more of you and me, which is not something I'm, like, thrilled about. And one of the things that you've given me that I don't like is nose hairs.
Thank you.
I talked about this weeks back where I'm struggling to find a great nose trimmer because I've, you know, my wife, I'm reaching the point now where my wife is like, you need to trim your nose hairs.
Yeah, women are good for that.
And, you know, the best success I've had, I do have one that I bought that works kind of good, but the most success I have is my wife literally taking a pair of tweezers and me
doing
this and, like, really making a face so that the hairs, like, accentuate more so she can, and she goes in the little nose and I just don't like that.
Give me the creeps just thinking about it.
Why? Because you think she's going to, like, snip something?
That's a good woman because I think if I asked your mother to do that, she would be like, just use a nose hair clipper. I don't want to go in
that
there.
That is one of the, Christy, she kind of laughs her way through it because it's like I make a ridiculous face. So she's, like, laughing. That she does that for me and she trims the back of my neck whenever I shave my beard. She'll get the back of my neck. Those are the two things that she does that are a little odd, I'd say.
Well,
what I was getting at was, why have you given me this nose hair thing? Do you struggle with it? Because you have a big nose.
I do have a big nose. I have nose hairs inside, which I use one of those little things that runs on like a double A battery.
Nose trimmer?
And you go like that.
But so is it specifically a nose trimmer?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it works.
And it works?
And it works. And then once in a while you get that wild hair sprouted on top of your nose.
Oh, wow. I haven't had that yet.
Yeah, and there, that's easy to trim off. But believe me, sometimes we'll get, your mother and I will get home from a night out at a restaurant or something, and she'll say, I didn't mean to say this during the restaurant, but you have a big hair on the top of your nose. So it's like not the most pleasant thing in the world.
Roy, after you've hit, you're a little older than me, so you've been 30 for a while now.
I'm 35.
35.
Are you really?
Yes.
Wow, look at you.
What?
Happy birthday, man. Roy.
It was in July.
Yeah, still.
What have you had to deal with in your 30s that is similar to my nose hair problem?
I think I'm going bald on the side of my head, like around the temple area. It's because I wear baseball caps all the time.
I don't know. I've looked it up because I always wear hats too, and I've often looked up to see if there's correlation there. And most things you read say if you're wearing ball caps with the little holes in them, that they don't, like, that shouldn't be the reason that you're losing your hair.
No, I don't think it's the actual airflow situation on the top of the cap. I think it's the actual rubbing of the cap on the hair.
Maybe.
Yeah. So that's a problem. Also, I'm starting to hurt.
Just
like
general.
Every day. Yeah.
What age did you find was the most, wow, I'm old age? You got to think back to a lot of them. There's a lot of
No, you know, every year ending in zero is supposed to be big. You know, 30 is supposed to be big. 40 is supposed to be big. I think you breeze through life until you're 50. Okay, once you get to be 50,
you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're still thinking of yourself. You're not thinking you're old yet at 50. You're still hanging on to middle age, but still you're starting to feel things that you didn't feel before. You know, it's a little, you're a little more, your legs are a little stiffer when you get up in the morning and stuff like that. And then when you hit 60, you're still bravely rationalizing that you're not old yet, but it becomes tougher to deny it. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I went through surgery a year ago. All of a sudden, I never used to take pills. I used to be like really, now I take like, you know, 4 or 5 pills every day. And I had the inhaler and all this. And you know, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I like have to do all these weird things just to get through life.
Soon you're going to have one of those pill containers where it's like Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, no, I'll never have one of those. Friday, no.
Saturday. At 35 years old, I'm starting to lose my memory. It's going away now. I'm starting to forget things that my wife's telling me, yeah. And now she's angry at me because I'm forgetting things that she told me. It's
a little young for that, Roy.
I understand, which is why I'm so worried about my mortality at this point, because I think
I sometimes debate whether, because I get accused of the same things. I don't know. I don't think I forget things. I just don't think I don't think we listen to our wives. I think that's what our issue is. We just get we're married, so we have a lot of the similar conversations.
Right.
So to some extent, they become white noise. How was your day?
Yeah.
Oh, really? She said this again? Like, so it's like you're kind of like in it, but, you know, which is kind of, I guess it's a jerk move by us. We should be more in the moment and listening. But I feel like it's more for me with Christy, my listening skills should need to improve more so than my memory.
I would agree with that, but I do think that it works both ways. Your mother has the annoying habit of multitasking. Like when I'm having a conversation with somebody, don't be on your phone when I'm talking to you.
That is
I personally think that's extremely rude, but sometimes she'll be doing that and she'll be like, you know, half listening and half doing this.
Sometimes if Chrissy's doing that, I'll just stop talking.
Oh yeah.
And
me
let
too.
Them like realize that I've stopped and they look up like, oh, I was listening. And it's like, were you?
Right.
Because it took you 15 seconds to realize that I stopped.
100%. I do the exact same thing. That's a pet peeve of mine among many is that if I'm talking to you, do me the courtesy of paying attention to me. I'll never forget I was a young journalist in the mid 80s. And the first time I ever met Jimmy Johnson, I was covering the University of Miami football team and he was their first year head coach. This would have been 1984. And I'm interviewing him in his office for the first time. And I'm interviewing him, and he's opening mail while I'm interviewing him.
He's Jimmy Johnson, so you don't have the clout to be like, excuse me, but you noticed it.
I didn't know him well enough. 4 years later, I'd have said, hey, Jimmy, pay attention, will you? You know, but then we were meeting for the first time. I was a young guy, and that was very rude. You know, but that's what he was doing, so.
All right, I want to take a deep dive into the Greg Cody career. And by that, I don't mean let's spend an hour talking about everything you've done in your career because you've had a very long career.
Yes.
You know, you've been in a lot of locker rooms. You've seen a lot of things. What good stories do you have just in terms of arguments you've seen in locker rooms, fights between players, fights between players and media members, fights even maybe in a media room between media members? Like, what are some interesting things you've come across in your career?
You know, the first major beat I covered was the Fort Lauderdale Strikers in the late 70s.
And Ray Hudson?
Ray Hudson and that crowd. And this was long before the Heat and the Panthers and the Marlins. So
it was just Dolphins and Strikers.
Dolphins, Fort Lauderdale Strikers, and Miami Hurricane football was pretty much the three big teams in town. And so the Strikers were a big deal, and that was my first big beat. And it was just a joy to cover because those players, many of whom were British, just loved the attention, you know, and I, at the time, I was like the same age as a lot of the players. And so we socialized a little bit. And, you know, I remember sitting in a hotel lobby with, in Montreal, I think it was, with Ray Hudson and several of the other players, into the wee hours. Apparently they didn't have a curfew now that I think about it, but.
So like at a bar?
Yeah, it was like a hotel bar slash lobby and, just laughing. And those were good times. That was my entree really into feeling like I'd made it as a sports writer. And from there, I covered the University of Miami during the Jimmy Johnson era. That was a trip. That was 84 through 88. Those were terrific teams. They were hated teams. They were controversial. You know, that was the battle fatigues story that caused all that uproar with Jerome Brown and Vinny Testaverde. It was like covering an NFL team. They were so talented. But there were arrests. You know, there was controversy. That's the beat where I had to get to know where the campus police department was and You know, I remember one of my sources at the time was a cop with the police department, and we would rendezvous discreetly in front of a florist shop.
Because this is before cell phones.
Yeah, right. We would exactly, right. There was no texting back then. We would rendezvous in front of a flower shop, and he would whisper information to me.
Literally whisper?
In a clandestine manner. Yeah, pretty much, because...
Like a pitcher-catcher thing? Would he have like a mouth?
He didn't want to be seen with a sports writer. And I didn't particularly want to be seen with a cop. So, yeah, it was pretty discreet. Those were pretty wild days. I've been in the company of the late, great Edwin Pope, my mentor and boss, in a room before a game with an unnamed University of Miami head coach. And I should say it wasn't Jimmy Johnson. You know, everybody's drinking beer and, you know, just having a really good loose time. And those were different days. You know, back in those days, it was pretty common for, you know, sports writers and players even, and coaches particularly, you know, to be at a bar together after a game and having drinks and something like that. That's much less the case now. In the age of social media, no coach, you know, wants to have a picture of him in a bar being tweeted out.
What's the angriest a player has ever been with you?
I'm trying to think, because there was a specific time when I covered the Dolphins. I only covered the Dolphins. Everybody thinks I've covered the Dolphins for years. I write about the Dolphins a lot. I only covered them full-time as a beat in, I think, 1990 and 91. And there was a player who was very angry with something I'd written. And after a game in a post-game locker room, he confronted me. And he didn't throw a punch or anything, nothing like that. But it was enough of a confrontation where it sort of became newsworthy. And all of a sudden, other reporters are asking me, and did I want to file a grievance with anybody? And I didn't. You know, it became a little brouhaha just for a few minutes. And
so did he get up in your face?
Yeah.
You don't want to say who it was?
No.
Okay. And what did you write about this player? Like, what was his qualm?
You know, it's been so long ago. I don't even remember exactly. It's been whatever, since 90 or 91. I don't remember exactly why he got mad, but he did. And I think they had lost a game and frustration was mixed.
And so he did kind of step up to your face. You never felt like it was really going to get physical, but he did step up to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he did. And no, I didn't feel like it was going to get physical because, you know, I'm a little guy comparatively. I never feel smaller than when I'm in an NFL or an NBA locker room.
Were you scared?
I wasn't scared only because I was surrounded by so many people.
Right.
I mean, there's no player in his right mind who's going to physically strike a sports writer after the game, because it's more so now than then. It's going to become a big controversy that might even get the player disciplined in some way.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
My favorite You Never Know that you've ever done.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, the best.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
How would you describe your dad? Like, you say he's not all these things. What is he? If
White.
You had to...
Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, he needed a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. He realized that hiring can be a slow process, and he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So you know what he did, Sugats?
You know where he switched to? Where?
He switched to ZipRecruiter.
Of course.
ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. No, it finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites all of them to apply to your job. So you get the qualified candidates and you get them quickly. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter, and he said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. It's me.
Hey.
Bob Lodore. Here's the thing about coffee. I love it. I drink it all the time. And I'm leaving High Noon to direct coffee. Thank you, Pablo. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crate. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. ZipRecruiter.com/crate. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Tony Collins was on the Mystery Crate a couple weeks ago, and your feedback to that episode was great. You love Tony Collins. You want more Tony Collins. Sugat still can't tell the difference between Tony Collins and Cassidy Hubbard, despite meeting them several times at this point. We like to say it's a joke, but no, it's a real-life issue. I don't know if he has facial blindness. I don't know what the deal is, but he'll never learn.
I actually saw Cassidy in New York. I was in the makeup room. It was definitely Cassidy, okay? And I was sitting in the makeup room. That's the time, remember I came on air and I told you guys, listen, in New York, there's a makeup room and a makeup chair. And whether you're done or not, if Stephen A. Smith walks into that room, you get up from the chair. And I wasn't done. And so, because Stephen A. walked in, I had to get up, I left, I came back to finish the makeup, I was sitting next to Cassidy, and what I said to her was, hey, it has gotten back to me that that entire thing I did with Tony, you, all, everything in Bristol, that you hate it and it annoys you, and you wish it would go away.
Is there a response, or is there more to that story?
She confirmed all of it.
Well, luckily, this isn't Cassidy. Yeah. This is Tony Collins, and she joins you in a debate about food. The Mystery Crate podcast has essentially become a food podcast here lately, and that theme continues. Please enjoy a return engagement for the Mystery Crate and Tony Collins, of course, talking about one of our favorite subjects, food. Here it is.
Eating good with Roy and Chris.
Eating good. Eating good. Welcome to the third installment. It's the third installment, right, Roy?
Yes, it is the third one.
Third installment of Eating Good with Chris and Roy, or Roy and Chris. We're still in a battle about, like, who's going to be the lead on this.
They're going to win in that battle.
Okay. But so the first episode, we did barbecue food with Greg Cody and the Shipping Container. We also did Italian food with Izzy Gutierrez. So today, we are in Bristol, and we have the amazing Tony Collins with us. And we just were talking with her, and we were like, all right, what is your favorite food? And I was hoping that she said what she said, and she said Mexican food. Because honestly, because honestly, that really is, like, my favorite type of food. I'm sure
What do you love?
I love, like, I love cheese.
Okay. So, like, you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about, like, it's probably pretty, like, American Mexican food. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure I don't, like, go to the best places, but I love, like, everything. I love, like, there's
gringo over here.
I am a dude, like, I love, enchiladas are amazing. I could just do a cheese enchilada. I mean, I know there's different variations, but this isn't about me. All right. Let's talk
about
you.
Not about me.
Roy, are you a Mexican food guy?
I am not. In the restaurants down in Miami where we are, mm-hmm. like, I don't think they serve authentic Mexican food.
See, that's the question I have, is because I don't really know. Like, I just love cheese and, like, rice and beans and
that's good.
Refried beans. That's what I mean. Like, oh, tacos, Taco Tuesday. Like, I love Mexican food. What is, like, when you think of Mexican food, like, what is your go-to stuff?
So you said it, enchiladas, but, like,
yes.
Breakfast, oh, my gosh. So you have them with, like, refried beans Ugh. And the salsa.
For breakfast?
Yeah, so we always have beans for breakfast.
Wow.
Like, the enchiladas with beans, tortilla, it's so good. But, like, it's key is ingredients, how fresh they are. Like,
right.
It's totally different.
Right.
Like, so I lived in Mexico, and that's obviously Mecca.
Yeah.
But, I also live in Texas, and by the border, the ingredients are way different. Like, everything, like, was way different than Miami, because I lived in Miami as well.
Right.
You know, it's more like Caribbean, Cuban, Venezuelan.
Right. Right. So, like, what is, like, the biggest difference between, like, American Mexican food and, like, when you're in Mexico?
Oh,
like
a Tex-Mex. I think the seasoning, the chiles they put in, maybe they don't put as much spices into it, and the spices are more mild,
mm-hmm.
the sauces as well.
Yeah.
So, oh, my gosh. Even, like, the things in the rice, like, we put a lot of... You can put vegetables, you can put anything, but it's a lot of, like, I'm drooling,
oh,
and I can't even.
See, like, at the restaurants I go to, like, is guacamole a big thing?
It is a big thing.
Yeah. Because I make that in my house. I've tried
really?
To, like, that's,
what
I'm not,
put?
In,
I'm
not really.
It, avocado.
But, dude, you mash it up with the tomatoes and the onion and the lime, like,
and the
onion.
Things?
Oh, yeah. But I love good guac. It's really the only thing that in the Mexican realm of food that I think I cook. Because I don't usually, with Mexican food, it's so, like, I don't want, I mean, maybe I cook tacos at home, but that's just a sad.
But guacamole is a must always.
Yes.
And, I mean, it depends on what you add to it. Some people add the different other.
Chili, like some like for a little heat, right?
Yeah.
The thing is I have a 2-year-old, so and she loves guacamole.
Aww.
So I've been keeping it mild for her, to, like, because she'll just, like, shovel guacamole. Like, she loves it. So, like, that's. So I usually have a little extra crushed red pepper maybe on the side for, like, my wife and I.
Put a little lime in there.
Well, yeah. Oh, lime. Lime's a must for sure.
You should also try, if you like fried stuff, flautas. So it's like tacos, but then you fry them and they come out.
The place I go to has chicken flautas,
Ooh.
And that is, it's like a fried
it's like they drop it in a fryer, right? It's like a fried enchilada, essentially, the way it looks. Right. But it's amazing. It's amazing.
So a big difference is, like, in Mexico, the tacos, the street tacos are not massive. They're, like, literally the size of your palm
right.
of hand. And, like, they give you the two little tortillas.
The two double. I've always wondered, like, why? It's, like, sometimes I'll.
Because we put so much.
Because they break.
And, they break. Or you put so much and you can make two out of them.
Right.
But I'm never going to forget. I once had blood tacos. That was the gross.
What? What is that?
Like, what? Blood sausage?
Yeah. Like, no, like, not a. It's just, it was, like, fried blood. And it was in the I mean, you grew up with that and, like, chicken heart.
Was it at least seasoned, the blood?
I don't remember. I blocked that moment in my life, but, you know, you had to do it.
Now, the way we've done this in the past is we have two, like, main staples that we hit. We just kind of BS around about, like, kind of like we're doing right now. But as far as questions, I go, I'm going to go overrated and underrated. Okay. So in the realm of Mexican food.
Okay.
Do you have, we'll start underrated. What is the most underrated type of thing with Mexican food?
Underrated? Have you guys had chile rellenos?
I've seen it on a menu. I don't know if I've had it.
Even, like, you go vegetarian on them, they're so good, but you can, like, stick the meats in there.
Vegetarian.
I love them. And they're not as spicy.
That would be good for underrated, because I don't think a lot of people think, like, that's the go-to.
Pepper! But no, it's so good. It's actually really good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Roy, you don't like Mexican food, so you're going to be able to contribute here at all?
I like Mexican food, but I'm just not used to eating it. And,
right.
You know, or how about a good steak? A good Mexican steak with
carne asada.
Carne asada. I have a place, the carne asada, it comes with a little enchilada on the side. Oh my God. That's what I mean. I'm starting to sweat thinking about it. I could literally talk about Mexican food all day. So, Roy, you don't have an underrated thing?
No.
Okay. My underrated thing is, I don't know if this is underrated. You know, I called the attention back to me to do my underrated thing. I don't even know if this is underrated. I just like chips and salsa.
Yes.
Like a good, like, if, like, this one place I go to a couple different Mexican restaurants, but if the place has, like, the best salt, like, the one place that I don't want to drop names because, like, whatever, they're not paying us. Yeah. But, I love a good salsa. I just have to segue here. This is Bristol, baby. Mike Golick Jr. just walked by with a little wave.
I'll go back and try. I just got scarred. I was watching his dad massage Stugatz's buns. But okay, go ahead.
No, that was amazing.
I had my head down the entire time.
I was.
What is going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Gill.
That is us just taking over Bristol right there. Yeah. That is just.
For that to happen here?
Yes.
I'm like, wow.
The request we had to make before that when we were telling people, all right, we need a boom, like a mic that could go, and they're like, for what? And we're like, glute massages? But yeah, I go salsa for most underrated style. And Billy, you just walked in. You can, like, you know, there's a spot there for you. All right, so Stu Gotch just walked in here, and he actually knew who Tony Collins was. This is amazing. Like, I was going to go for the bit. I was going to go for the bit and say that he did it, but he did.
Yeah.
If you are not aware of this, one of our most famous sounds in show history that we play all the time is Stu Gotch came up here a couple years ago, and I always get confused on who
so
he
was. I was in the makeup room, and I see him. I introduce myself. I'm like, Tony, he's like, you know, whatever you need. I'm from Miami, whatever.
Yeah.
Then we were in the cafeteria, and he was with Dan, and he's like, Cassidy. Yeah. And it was that one moment where you're like, I just kept going, and he's like, Cassidy, da 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 da. And I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I don't know how Mike Ryan found out, or someone found out, and then they told me to play along. And
He's such a ham that, like, I don't even think, like, that's so Stu Gotch. It's like the most Stu Gotch thing ever.
I saw him at the airport a year ago, and I'm like, okay, I'm Tony, nice to meet you. He's like, I know, asshole.
All right, we're all over the place, which is amazing, because this is the way we do it. Like, I love this so far. This has been really good. All right, awesome. So we're just going to close. Let's go to overrated now, just so we can, like, put a bow on this thing, since we said we were going to do it. Is Billy, like,
is
there
Billy
now?
Like,
is Billy, like,
is he
available?
Mexican underrated?
I'm here, but I don't want to interrupt you guys. Have, like, a good flow going.
Billy, we're talking about Mexican food. Are you a Mexican food guy? You can say no.
I don't know how to answer this without, like, offending Tony if she takes offense to this.
Because,
like, I don't want to say, like, I like lime and then have you be like, that is not Mexican food. You see, like...
Karen, Connecticut?
Lime, do you know lime? Lime is like a chain, like, burrito place down by... Chipotle.
You've never had lime?
It's kind of like Chipotle. It's like a Chipotle.
We don't have that here.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's like a Moe's. Have you had Moe's?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Moe's, but it's a little, like, more, a little fancier than Moe's.
But you don't have any, like, Mexican places that you go to, like around your place? Like,
no,
like,
I get, like, my stomach gets upset really easily. So, like, I can't eat anything that's too, like, spicy.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, overrated.
right, now overrated, and I just don't get this because these restaurants do this a certain type of way, I guess, but Mexican rice.
Hmm.
I just think they just put ketchup in there and just mix the rice in there. And just
what kind of Mexican rice have you been eating?
Restaurant quality Mexican rice, apparently.
I'm fine with Mexican rice. Like, I wouldn't say that's overrated. I think that's just there. It's not, like, underrated. It's not overrated. It's just there.
It's just there as a side.
What do you think?
I don't know. You go, because I'm trying to...
I'm trying to think. Most overrated thing. Like, see... This is an interesting one because I feel like the easiest answer for this is because everyone hypes them up. It has like a day of the week. Like, I'm not going to say tacos are over, like, cause I love tacos, but it's just like the way they get their own day.
Like it's a holiday.
Why isn't there a burrito like Monday or enchilada? Like enchilada should have its own day before tacos is what I'm saying.
Quesadilla.
Does hot sauce fall in the category? I think no offense to one of them, but I'm like, it just depends on the hot sauce. The most common hot sauce.
You bring up hot sauce. We were talking about condiments a few back and what would be your five favorite condiments that you shoot out your finger. You can explain this.
Wait, I don't know if you've heard this. We play a ridiculous game where it says for the rest of your life you can only have five condiments. We can go out of the realm of Mexican food now.
Yeah.
So you have for the rest of your life you only get five condiments. Okay. Which five? And you have the power. Like you can say I want mayonnaise out of my pinky. Mm-hmm. Butter is butter a condiment? We've had this debate all the time.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So like basically, what are your condiments like go to just in general?
Middle finger would definitely be Valentina hot sauce.
So you could. That's hilarious.
Either you like it.
That's
or
no. That's fantastic.
Right in your eye.
barbecue sauce.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
a Royce.
Have you guys had oyster sauce?
Oyster sauce.
It's like a sweet like.
They put it in Mongolian beef oyster sauce.
Yes.
That's great. You're the first person. We asked this to Tyler Hero. We were asking this to NBA players.
Yeah.
We've asked this to probably 30 people. You're the first person to say oyster sauce. Awesome.
I get it all the time for my teriyaki chicken or meat or whatever.
Yeah. So what else? That's three.
That's three. Then my other, what's this one called? See, I don't even know.
The ring finger.
Awesome. I don't even know where you get engaged or married. That's how it is.
I didn't say anything.
My ring finger would be. I like vinegar. I know I'm
that's,
weird.
No, that's
you know
good.
Five Guys, how they put vinegar like on the front.
Oh, I'm with that. Vinegar. I'm with vinegar.
And I gotta it's not to sound weird. So there's just French mustard.
Ooh.
And it's not as sweet, and it's not. It's like tangy. I don't know.
French mustard.
Yeah,
Dijon.
Yeah, no, but it's comes in little balls.
Cool.
Yeah, that one.
Nice.
So mustard, oyster,
little pellets.
Mustard, oyster, that's barbecue, hilarious. Hot sauce, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Billy, what can you say about Mexican food to cap this off?
I'm not like a Mexican food expert. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to. Yeah, I can't have too much of it because then I have to, you know.
Yeah.
Long night.
Oh, no.
Well, that's going to do it for us. I want to make it seem to the listeners like we're literally packing up and getting ready to go to a wedding. Yeah. It's going to do it for us here.
What?
On the Mystery Crate.
Mike already started drinking.
Started having the cocktails.
Yes.
Cocktail hour. We're on our way to Dan's wedding.
Yeah.
Sugats, please don't go on any social media. How many photos are you going to take?
I mean, just a few. I'm bringing a football for everyone to autograph for the lovely couple and maybe a basketball as well.
Yeah. Yep. Say it's for the couple.
It's for the couple, yes. Yeah. And then we'll sell it later on eBay.
Yeah. Or you re-gift it and boom, Dan has his gift.
Whoa.
Yeah. Subscribe, rate, review, and also please subscribe to Supodity. It is the linchpin of the Levitard and Friends podcast network. He is the best. You love Sugats. It's Sugats and Cage. So be sure to check out Supodity. Thank you for joining us this week on Mystery Crate, Sue.
It's been a pleasure, guys. My favorite podcast.